Soundcheck. It's on your radio.
Soundcheck. Listen to it with your ears.
Soundcheck. On the internet.
Soundcheck.
Soundcheck.
From WNYC in New York, this is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. Last week, something Jonathan Clyde said on our show stuck in my head. Jonathan produced that new reissue of the Beatles film Magical Mystery Tour, which originally aired on Boxing Day in 1967, and Jonathan was explaining what Boxing Day was.
It is the day after Christmas. Everyone's just had eaten far too much, and they've all had enough of each other.
He was talking about England, but come on, when he says they'd all had enough of each other, I think we all know exactly what he means. Fact is, the holidays are a great time for bickering and arguing. The Ramones even wrote a song about it.
Merry Christmas, I don't want to fight tonight. Merry Christmas, I don't want to fight tonight. Merry Christmas, I don't want to fight tonight.
Yeah, I don't want to fight tonight. I'd rather watch two other people do it. And yes, I do mean fight about the holidays, and specifically holiday music. See, we have two major media sources for holiday songs. On the one hand, a lot of holiday classics have come from big screen films. Silver Bells, for example, is from a movie called The Lemon Drop Kid. But on the other hand, the small screen has produced some familiar tunes too, like the songs from How the Grinch Stole Christmas. So when it comes to giving us some musical Christmas cheer, which size takes the prize? It's definitely time for another
Soundcheck Smackdown!
And joining me here in the studio to duke it out are Kristen Meinzer and Rafer Guzman, who together make up the team behind the Takeaways movie date. Kristen, Rafer, welcome.
Nice to be here.
Hi, John.
Loser gets a lump of coal. So, Kristen, big screen or small screen for holiday music?
Big. Size matters when it comes to good Christmas movie music. And it's the big screen.
And better music?
By far. Hands down.
Wow.
Hands down.
Rafer, that leaves you with small screen.
I say small screen. I think...
Aren't you a film critic?
You know, I know what you're saying. I know what you're saying. I am. I like the Christmas TV specials. I always have. Those things bring me back to childhood much more than the movies do.
All right. Give me your best shot, Kristen.
Oh.
Big screen, holiday classic.
There are so many to choose from, but you got to start off with the classic, White Christmas. That is the quintessential big screen movie holiday song. Bing Crosby sings it. You can't help but feel a little bit of nostalgia, even though you weren't even alive back then.
But wait a minute. Wasn't Holiday Inn, the movie that it came from, not a Christmas, despite the title, not a holiday movie at all?
It wasn't specifically a holiday movie. Bing Crosby was a very lazy guy who wanted to be an innkeeper, but only wanted to work a few days a year, so he started an inn. And the inn was only open on certain holidays, and each holiday he had a song for. So it's a holiday movie, but it's also, it's describing holidays more broadly. There are President's Day songs in there, actually.
Yeah, and then it became such a hit, of course, that they had to do a second movie.
Thank goodness, White Christmas.
Called White Christmas, just so that we could hear Bing Crosby sing it again.
I'm dreaming of a white Christmas, just like the ones I used to know, where the treetops glisten and children listen to hear sleigh bells in the snow. White Christmas, with every Christmas card I write, may your days be merry and bright, and may all your Christmases
be white.
So nice, we had to hear it twice. Bing Crosby originally sang White Christmas in the non-Christmas movie Holiday Inn in 1942, and then that's where that came from, and then 2 years later, they made the movie White Christmas. I'm not casting aspersions, I just want to ask a simple question. Is the movie White Christmas the worst movie ever made?
I cannot believe you just said that. And during the holidays, John, absolutely not.
Oh, come on. What do you do with a general? I mean, that's a song? Jeez. All right. I'm refereeing today a holiday movie music smackdown between Kristen Meinzer, who's going big screen, and Rafer Guzman, who's standing up for the small screen, the TV holiday specials. Rafer, Kristen has gone straight to the nuclear option with White Christmas.
Boy, I know.
50 million copies sold. How do you top that?
That's a tough one. But, you know, I have to say I've never liked Bing Crosby. I've never liked that velvety voice he's got, the way he kind of slips around on those notes.
Somebody has no spirit of Christmas in their heart.
I liked him in the Road movies, I think, because he was sending up his persona a little bit, but I've never liked him. My favorite, probably my all-time favorite TV Christmas special, I know it's an obvious one, but it's the biggie, Charlie Brown Christmas. I think that thing is unbeatable, and that soundtrack, I think, is an absolute masterpiece from top to bottom.
The great jazz pianist Vince Guaraldi.
Vince Guaraldi,
and his
trio.
You could pick
any track off of that thing, and I think it would blow White Christmas away.
Well, we've picked this one called Skating. Vince Guaraldi and his trio, Skating, is that excerpt from the 1965 animated TV special, A Charlie Brown Christmas. Kristen, Rafer has thrown down the gauntlet. What do you have to say to that?
You know, that's a pretty good weapon, Rafer, but I'm going to throw you up against the ropes now and just point out that this is only one good song out of the millions of holiday TV specials that have ever been out there. The vast majority are just so unbearably awful, and I want to remind listeners of this thing called A Smurfs Christmas Special from 1982.
Because, why do you want to do that, Kristen?
Because you need to hear this. The only good thing about this song is that after you hear it, you can have a little badge that says, I have heard the worst Christmas song ever made. It is so awful that baby Jesus cries every time you hear it. Every single time, it is so bad.
So wait a minute. Are you saying that the badness of this song you're about to make us listen to negates the goodness of all that Charlie Brown music?
Absolutely. If you are in a record store and 99% of all of the music in the store is bad, do you want to go to that store? What if that store is called TV Christmas Specials? And that's what we're in right now.
You go on movie dates with her?
I go on movie dates with her all the time.
All right. This is what Kristen wants you to hear. From the Smurfs Christmas special of 1982, goodness makes the badness go away.
This is a little song we sing every holiday. It's very old and very true.
Goodness makes the badness go away.
Sing it, children.
Goodness,
that's it.
I don't know.
OK, Okay, Kristen, point made. The Smurfs Christmas special, goodness makes the badness go away. We're in the midst of a soundcheck smackdown. Kristen Meinzer says the best holiday songs come from the big screen, from the movies, from Hollywood. Rafer Guzman, ironically for a film critic, says, no, no, you got to go small screen, Charlie Brown, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, all the rest of the Rankin and Bass stuff.
Yes.
But let's, I mean, Kristen, you know, you're not here to just, like, play bad music for us. I mean, what else do you have? Once you get beyond White Christmas,
oh,
what
there are so many outstanding ones. How much more time do I have? You know what? I'm going to do Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas.
Oh, don't do it. Oh, my God,
just
don't
do
it.
I'm going to do it because it is wonderful and because the spirit of Christmas grows in your heart every time you hear it. It is so great. It's nostalgic. It's sad. It's heartbreaking. It's about saying goodbye. It's about crying. It's about so many things that Christmas is for so many of us.
I barely live through that song every time I hear it. That song just makes me want to crawl into a bathtub with a bottle of pills. I feel like that song just is like vanished dreams and despair and loss of hope. I mean, here's
what, you're
the thing.
Okay with the Vince Guaraldi Christmas and you can't handle this kind of sadness?
Oh, I mean, I think the problem with that song for me personally is that it's such a powerful performance from Judy Garland that it just overwhelms me, and I just hear every awful thing that ever happened to her in her whole life. It's tough for me to take that one.
It's from the movie Meet Me in St. Louis, 1944 film starring Judy Garland.
Once again, as in olden days, happy golden days of until then, we'll have to muddle through somehow. So have yourself a merry little Christmas now. Garland,
Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas. Boy, Kristen Meinzer bringing out the heavy artillery in this soundcheck smackdown. Rafer Guzman, do you have a problem, an argument with Kristen's choice of movies?
No, I don't. I mean, these are kind of classic movies. These are the perennial movies that always come around. I think it's the music. It's the particular song. Again, like, do you hear how Judy Garland sort of started out happy on that one, and then by the end she just falls to pieces? That makes it worse.
You know
that
what
she
was more depressing originally? The original lyrics were, "Have yourself a merry little Christmas. This may be your last."
Is that true?
That's the way it originally opened, but it was considered too sad. So you're listening to the happy version,
right? Oh, thank God.
Merry Christmas, kids. Soundcheck listeners, where do the great holiday songs come from? Do you prefer the big screen songs like White Christmas, Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas, or do you like the smaller, you know, the animated TV specials? We haven't even touched on the Rankin and Bass stuff yet.
Right.
But the Charlie Brown Christmas, Rudolph, and all the rest. You can leave a comment on our website, soundcheck.org. So, Rafer, Rankin and Bass?
Rankin and Bass. I love those specials. I always have. I watch them every single Christmas. My grandmother's house, by the fireplace, TV and fireplace. What more do you want? That's Christmas in the suburbs to me. You watch them every year. These songs just get drilled into your head. They really become a part of you. I think more so than the Christmas movie music, at least for me.
Now, in Rudolph, people, of course, know the title song, but then there's Burl Ives,
sort of at
the height of his fame, singing, you know, songs in this as
well.
Yeah,
he's the snowman, the narrator, and Burl Ives' voice is so great. I mean, you know, now I have kids, and so I listen to him a lot, the Little White Duck album, which is, you know, a classic in the house, but Holly Jolly Christmas from Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, I just think that's just a wonderful song.
Have a holly jolly Christmas, it's the best time of the year. I don't know if there'll be snow, but have a cup of cheer. Have a holly jolly Christmas, and when you walk down the street, say hello to friends you know and everyone you meet. Oh, ho, the mistletoe hung where you can see. Somebody waits for you, kiss her once for me. Have a holly jolly Christmas, and in case you didn't hear, oh, by golly, have a holly jolly Christmas this year.
Oh, I forgot about the sound effect.
The nose. You hear the nose. The nose blowing at the end.
Kristen, how can you sit here in the studio shaking your head while you hear that?
Because I just want to remind everybody that Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer is also the TV special where Santa's a jerk. He doesn't want Rudolph playing in any reindeer games. And he sends all of the misfit toys off to a private island where they have to live by themselves and never be loved by children. This is such an upsetting Christmas special. And every song just tells me Santa doesn't love you. And you don't fit in. Every single song, including Holly Jolly Christmas.
Kristen, have a cup of cheer.
Oh, stop it. Stop.
So if the big screen songs are all about, you know, quantity, you know, selling 50 million copies of White Christmas, for example, where are the quality songs in the TV specials? I mean, are there some hidden gems, Rafer, that we overlook?
I think there are. Depending on who you are, this one may not be so hidden. But one of my favorites is Heat Miser. Heat Miser / Cold Miser.
Oh, my God. I cannot
Year Without
believe,
a Santa Claus.
I cannot believe you're going to go there. These are like two of my all-time
These
favorite
your favorites?
Songs.
Well, see, because you're a rock fan, right? And
but also, you never – I mean, what's the – I don't even know the name of the show this comes from.
It's A Year Without a Santa Claus from, I'm going to say, mid-70s, I think.
Wow.
Also Rankin Bass. Santa Claus gets a cold. Santa Claus gets a cold, and his doctor basically tells him, stay in bed, don't bother.
Oh, that's what he deserves for being a jerk to Rudolph.
For segregating the toys. But there are a couple of great Broadway kind of showstopper numbers between the Heat Miser and the Cold Miser, one of which I think the Cold Miser is Dick Gregory. I think he sings that one. But they're just great. They've got their little top hats and canes. And I think Heat Miser was what inspired the name of the band, right? From Elliot Smith. And,
Okay.
When he did his Portland, Oregon indie rock thing.
Well, the Heat Miser, and I should say, as I recall, it's the same backing music. It's the exact same music.
Same
it's
tune. Same
one
tune.
Is He's Mr. Heat Miser, and the other is He's Mr. Cold Miser.
Exactly.
Heat Miser is apparently George S. Irving.
That's right.
Broadway actor?
Broadway actor, yes.
Kristen, do you know this Do you know this show?
Yeah, I'm familiar with it. Whatever.
She's trying to be impressed.
You know, it's just, it's fine.
Yeah, yeah. Listen to this and you tell me this is fine.
I'm Mr. Green Christmas. I'm Mr. Sun. I'm Mr. Heat Blister. I'm Mr. 101. I'm too much.
He's Mr. Green Christmas. He's Mr. Sun. He's Mr. Heat Blister. He's Mr. 101.
They call me Heat Miser. Whatever I touch starts to melt in my clutch.
He's too much.
Thank you.
From The Year Without a Santa Claus, that is the Heat Miser's song. Rafer Guzman standing up for the small screen holiday songs, and Kristen Meinzer going big screen all the way. They collectively do the Takeaways Movie Date podcast, and there are gladiators here in the Soundcheck Smackdown ring. Really, those jazzy smears on the trombone, Kristen, just fine?
Do you want to gather around the Christmas tree and hold hands and sing that? No. No, I don't want to sing that.
You haven't met my kids.
You're going to go caroling door to door singing that song about 60 degrees? No, no. Don't want to do it. Not going to do it.
All right, so give me a big, big screen pick.
I have the one you cannot top. You cannot top this song, Baby, It's Cold Outside. You can never top this. No TV show will top it. No TV commercial. Nothing else will ever top this as the greatest holiday song of all time. It is a flirtatious dance, all vocalized, where it's all about falling in love or falling into bed, depending on how you want to hear it. And it's just so fun and kind of sexy and sort of naughty. And I also love that they don't ever mention Christmas in the song anywhere. It's just kind of a seasonal song that you can enjoy no matter what your denomination.
This is Dean Martin, right?
Well, he sang one version of it. This has been in lots and lots of movies. It was first actually composed by a husband. He and his wife would sing it at holiday. Yeah, they would sing it at holiday parties. And then he sold it to MGM. And apparently she was very upset about that because that was their song. But then it was featured in Neptune's Daughter.
All right, I'm going to hold my peace for a moment here, but suffice to say, this song has been the subject of quite a bit of conversation on Soundcheck recently. Here it is.
I really can't stay.
Baby, it's cold outside.
I've got to go away.
Baby, it's cold outside.
This evening has
been hoping that you'd drop
so
in.
So very nice.
I'll hold your hand. They're just like
my mother will start to worry.
Beautiful, what's your
and father will be pacing the floor.
Listen to the fireplace
so
roar.
Really hot, better scurry.
Beautiful, please don't hurry.
Maybe just a little drink more.
Put some records on while I pull.
The neighbors might
but baby, it's bad out there.
Say, what's in this
no
dream?
No cabs to be had out there.
I wish I knew
your
how.
Your eyes are like stars
to break the spell.
I'll take your hat. Your hair looks
I
red.
Ought to say no, no, senor.
Mind if I move in
at
close?
Least I'm going to say that I tried.
What's the sense of hurting my pride?
I really can't
oh,
stay.
Oh, baby, don't hold out.
Oh,
baby,
but it's cold outside.
Well, that's different, Kristen.
Yes, that's
the
actually
roles
from,
are reversed.
Yeah, that's actually from Neptune's Daughter. There's two versions of the song in there. One sung by Ricardo Montalbán and Esther
great.
Williams, where he is kind of playing the predatory role.
Yes.
And then the version we just heard is Red Skelton and Betty Garrett, where she's trying to convince him to stay. And I really love it whenever the roles are reversed in this song.
Well, now, you know, recently on Soundcheck, we've been talking about Christmas songs that creep you out. And this has been number one with a bullet on our listeners' list
really?
Of creepy Christmas songs.
I know a lot of people think it sounds date rapey. There is
yes.
that one point where it's like, what's in this drink? You know, there's that line, of course. But I think it's being very flirtatious. I don't think that it's creepy. I think it's much more a flirtatious back and forth.
All I have right. always liked that song. I've got to give that one to you.
Oh, did I just smack
I do,
down?
I do.
So
I
round
do like,
three
I do
goes
like
to Kristen? Is that what you're
that could be.
Giving
could
up
be.
All you're throwing in the
wow.
towel, Rafer? Soundcheck listeners, what do you think? Big screen, small screen, where do you get your holiday hits from? You can leave a comment online, soundcheck.org, or leave us a voicemail, 866-939-1612. And the two maniacs behind the Takeaways Movie Date podcast are Rafer Guzman and Kristen Meinzer. They've been the subjects of our Soundcheck Smackdown this week. And what do you do for family fun on Christmas Eve, Rafer and Kristen? I mean, Kristen, do you take the family out to the to the movies or
I
rent
DVDs? I watch
DVDs?
Lots of movies. I watch lots and lots and lots and lots of movies. And I admit it, I also watch lots of TV specials, and I love them all, and I love Christmas music. I'm an insane fan of all Christmas music.
Rafer?
One that I almost picked, Jimmy Durante doing Frosty the Snowman. The Frosty the Snowman special is a big hit in our house.
All right. Well, guys, happy holidays to you both. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, John. So much.
It would be churlish of me at this holiday season to declare a winner. Rafer, this is Soundcheck.
Frosty the Snowman was a jolly, happy soul. With a corncob pipe and a button nose and two eyes made out of coal.
Frosty the Snowman had to hurry on his way.
But he waved goodbye saying, don't you cry.
I'll be back on Christmas Day.
Listeners, don't forget to weigh in when it comes to holiday TV specials versus big screen holiday movies. Which one has the better music? Leave a comment on our page, soundcheck.org. Coming up later on the show, the Icelandic indie folk band of Monsters and Men stops by for a visit. The group released their debut album called My Head is an Animal here in the States earlier this year, and it just so turns out that we Americans kind of liked it. The band ended up on quite a few Best of 2012 lists, so stick around to hear them play live. Speaking of year-end wrap-ups, have you heard about our 2012 music survey? People from all over the world have stopped by our site, soundcheck.org, to share their thoughts about music from the past year. Up next, we'll hear from a couple of them. And while we're taking a break, maybe you should start filling out yours, too. It's online at soundcheck.org. By now you might have heard about our 2012 music survey that we've got up on our website, soundcheck.org. It's a series of questions that prompt you to reflect back on the music of the past year. What was your favorite album? What was your favorite song? And we ask about some of your least favorites as well. You can fill it out at soundcheck.org, and you can read all of the responses that we've gotten so far while you're there, too. Today we thought we'd talk to a couple of people who've filled out our survey, beginning with Issa Abney from Brooklyn. Issa, welcome to Soundcheck.
Great to be here.
Now, one of the questions in our end-of-the-year survey is, what's your favorite new band or artist of 2012? Give us your answer.
Macklemore, for sure. That album is fantastic. And it was great because, you know, it's the first time I heard this year of a real serious rapper trying to merge this kind of flashy lifestyle with, you know, very socially conscious message. I mean, he had the number one album on iTunes for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And one of his tracks, Same Love, was talking about gay marriage and gay equality, something that Frank Ocean did not do in his album. And he's the big queer star at the moment.
So Macklemore's The Heist makes him your kind of breakout artist of 2012. Let's hear a little bit. This is from Macklemore's record, The Heist.
What you know about rocking the wolf on your noggin? What you knowing about wearing a fur fox skin? I'm digging, I'm searching right through that luggage. One man's trash, that's another man's come up. Thank your granddad for donating that plaid button up shirt. Cause right now I'm up in her skirt. I'm at the Goodwill, you can find me in the... I'm not stuck on searching in the section. Your grandma, your auntie, your mama, your mammy. I'll take those flannel zebra jammies secondhand and rock that.
Whoa.
The built-in onesie with the socks on them.
Whoa.
I hit the party and they stop in that.
Whoa.
They be like, oh, that Gucci, that's hella tight. I'm like, yo, that's $50 for a t-shirt. Limited edition.
Macklemore and Ryan Lewis featuring Wans and Thrift Shop comes from the hit record The Heist. And our listener, Issa Abney, on the line with us from Brooklyn, he said that was his favorite new band or artist of 2012. And you can see all of Issa's answers to the 2012 music survey on our website at soundcheck.org. Issa, I'm going to kill two questions with one stone here. We asked on our survey for your biggest musical disappointment of the year and worst song or album of the year, and you had the same answer for both.
Frank Ocean.
Why?
Frank Ocean did this thing where he came out of this whole big deal about he being bisexual and having this relationship at 19 with some guy. And it just so happened that his album was going to come out a week or two afterwards. It's the same exact move that Don Lemon did when the CNN anchor, he came out, big deal, book came out the week after. Nicki Minaj did the same exact thing. If you look at her initial interviews when she first came out, she was talking about her love for women, and how she had all these relationships with women, and she considered herself bisexual, and then she dropped an album the week after. It seemed kind of fake. It seemed artificial. And as someone who is queer and thinks these issues are particularly important, I kind of felt that, you know, he was using his power as an artist just to sell albums.
Well, I think, I mean, he's become quite divisive. So for you, was the album bad or just overhyped?
I think it was overhyped. I think it was okay. I don't think it was particularly noteworthy, nor I think it's worthy of a Grammy nomination. But, you know, I get it. He's trendy. Being queer nowadays is trendy, especially for a black artist. So I get it.
All right. Well, Issa, thank you very much for taking part in our music survey and in our program tonight.
Thank you so much.
Sweet life. Sweet life, sweet life. Sweet life, sweet life. Sweet, 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 sweet life. Sweet life, sweet life, sweet pie. You've had a landscape and a house.
That's a little bit of the Frank Ocean record Channel Orange and the song called Sweet Life. A favorite of some and a big disappointment to others. We were talking with Issa from Brooklyn, and again, his answers to the 2012 Music Survey are on our website, soundcheck.org, where you will also find the answers from Ian T. McFarland, who joins us on the line from Los Angeles. Welcome, Ian.
Hi.
I really liked your answer to the question, what musical trends did you spot in 2012? You want to tell us about it?
Sure. I couldn't help but notice, as a kid, when I really paid attention to pop music, I would turn on the radio and I'd hear all these, not necessarily cool guys, but guys that seemed pretty cool, Backstreet Boys or Usher or whoever. It doesn't feel that way at all anymore. Most of the big names, guys like LMFAO or Psy, it's not that they're not cool, but they're just total goofballs, and that's what makes them cool, I guess.
Uh-huh.
But it's really refreshing that through all the irony our culture has inhaled, at least something kind of charming has come out of it.
So it really is the revenge of the nerds.
Yeah, exactly.
So Psy, of course, with Gangnam Style, and LMFAO tearing up dance floors around the country with a couple of their hits, including Sexy and I Know It. Ian, thank you so much for filling out our survey and sharing some of your answers with us today on Soundcheck.
Thank you.
I'm sexy and I know it.
Yeah, when I'm at the mall, security just can't fire them all. And when I'm at the beach, I'm in a Speedo trying to tan my cheeks. This is how I roll. Come on, ladies, it's time to go. We headed to the bar, baby, don't be nervous. No shoes, no shirt, and I still get service. Watch. Girl, look at that body. Girl, look at that body. Girl, look at that body. I work out. Girl, look at that body. Girl, look at that body. Girl, look at that body.
Again, if you'd like to tell us your thoughts on the past year's music, visit soundcheck.org and click on Take Soundcheck's 2012 Survey. Up next, Man vs. Bear, the undead, flesh-eating maggots, and music, too. Stay tuned for the band of Monsters and Men performing live. Soundcheck, I'm John Schaefer. Iceland has given the world some pretty distinctive-sounding bands. Think of Björk for one, Sigur Rós for another. Now we're hearing some music from the Icelandic band called Of Monsters and Men. This indie folk act has had a quick rise from playing a Battle of the Bands back in Reykjavik to having a top 10 album here in the States. We'll hear more about what the last year's been like for them in a moment, but first, here's a song. It's the band of Monsters and Men, all seven of them, live in the Soundcheck studio with Mountain Sound.
Calling in the distance, so I packed my things and ran far away from all the trouble I had caused with my two hands. Alone we traveled on with nothing but a shadow. We fled.
Goes down
through the hood
That's the band of Monsters and Men, live performance from this Icelandic group here in our New York studio on Soundcheck. The song's called Mountain Sound, and the lead singers in of Monsters and Men are Nana and Ragi, sort of alternating between the two, although everyone sings. We also have Brynjar playing guitar, Arnar behind the drum kit, Steini playing accordion, Kitty on bass, Raga playing the trumpet. To all of you, welcome to Soundcheck. Nana, the name of Monsters and Men seems really kind of appropriate once you start listening to the album, you know, which is full of kind of stories, almost sounds like fables in a sense.
Yeah, you know, I think that, like, the concept of the album kind of came after the name, mm-hmm. because it kind of had a big impact on how, you know, we started to write. And
where did the name come from?
Well,
Ragi?
Like everything, it comes from nowhere.
Nowhere and everywhere. Yeah. But as Nana was just saying, you know, once you had the name, it sort of set you on a path to writing certain kinds of songs. We expect usually musicians from Iceland, and there are so many these days, to kind of have a music that reflects the cold, the snow, the ice, the glaciers. Your record, which is called My Head is an Animal, has a very warm kind of sound. Where does that come from?
I don't know.
I'm not really sure.
Yeah.
Most of it was written in the wintertime, actually.
I feel like it has a pretty cold sound, actually.
Really?
So, yeah.
It's kind of like a mixture. I think, you know, a lot of the songs were written in the wintertime, but we recorded a lot of it, you know, in the summertime, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So maybe, you know, it's, you know, the seasons impact the way it sounds.
And then maybe like Little Talks and Amante Sound, they're both like pretty summery songs. Yeah, they're kind of like cheery and happy.
Mm-hmm.
But then we have some sad songs.
but you've got all these, you know, when you have like six and seven people singing at once, it's hard to be sad, you know? It's like people yelling, hey, and stuff like that.
Yeah.
It's got a real kind of communal warmth to it. Nana, you guys actually did start in a battle of the bands, right?
Yeah, kind of. It's like, it is a battle of the bands, but it's called Music Experiments in Iceland. And
thank you for translating that, by the way.
Music, it's a hard one. But yeah, so, you know, we were competing with some other, like, young bands and, you know, got to play on a really big stage, and mm-hmm. we had really, it was kind of our first show as of Monsters and Men to do that. So,
and this was back in 2010?
Yeah, March 2010.
So what did you expect from that? I mean, you're hoping to win, but could you have imagined that you'd get, like, you know, a big record label to come and, like, sweep you away to the UK and the US and all the rest?
I think we didn't even, like, we didn't go into it thinking that we would win at all. Like, I remember when they were announcing the who had won, and we were just kind of getting ready to leave.
Yeah, I wanted to lose.
You wanted to lose?
No, I'm kidding.
No, but it was very unexpected.
And so you win the Battle of the Bands, and then you're off on this track, which has brought you to New York, a couple of sold-out shows. The album was top 10 here in the charts. And, I mean, you made an early decision, as many artists in Scandinavia do, to sing in English. Does anybody in Iceland sing in Icelandic?
Yes.
Yeah.
Steini has a band. They sing in Icelandic.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful lyrics. I think it's 50-50.
Yeah, it's very mixed.
And some do both, mm-hmm. you know.
But you guys pretty much exclusively are singing in English.
Yeah, at least for this album we have.
Oh, are you thinking of maybe varying it a bit next time out?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
I think we're just not close to anything. We're open to everything, so. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, if the right song comes along, you know, then yes.
Is it hard writing in your second language?
No. It's very easy language. Mm-hmm. Just use rhymemachine.com.
Rhymemachine.com. Okay. We're plumbing the secrets of the band of Monsters and Men here on Soundcheck today. Let's hear another song. You want to do King and Lionheart next?
Yeah.
Of Monsters and Men, live in the Soundcheck studio.
But this time they should worry. But these problems aside, I think I taught you well. That we won't run, and we won't run, and we won't run. And in the winter night sky, ships are sailing. Mountains that are stacked with fear, but sure, a king and I, my lion heart, a lion heart. A lion heart, a lion heart, a lion heart.
a lion heart. A lion heart. A lion heart. A lion.
Once again, the Icelandic band of Monsters and Men playing live in our New York studio on Soundcheck. That's called King and Lionheart. The band's album is called My Head is an Animal. Are there actual kind of stories, you know, like stories that you've read somewhere that kind of spawned or inspired some of these songs?
Some of them, yeah. Like for the next song we're mm-hmm. going to play, it's a story that we read and... You know, should I tell you the story?
Sure.
Okay. It's about an American guy, and it's
named
I think it's Hugh Glass.
Hugh Glass.
Very cool name. Yes. And you know, he was like a traveler. He was traveling in the woods and with a flock of men.
A flock of men.
Yeah, is that a weird thing to say?
We say a flock of birds or a group of men.
Okay, group of men.
I like a flock
I'm
of
sorry,
men.
I like a flock of men.
Yeah, I make cool stuff up.
Yeah.
So,
you know what we call a group of crows?
Yeah.
A murder. Very good.
Thank
a murder of crows.
I'm enjoying the reverb.
But I'm afraid guys just get group.
Yeah.
All right, so he's in the woods with a bunch of other guys.
Yeah. And a bear comes along. And he starts fighting the bear, and it's just like this epic battle of this guy and this bear.
And what are the other guys doing? They're just watching him fight
the
bear?
Yeah, they're just very scared. They're cowards.
Okay.
Yeah. So, you know, and they think he's dead, so they like dig a shallow grave and bury him. And by the way, he kills the bear because he's very, very cool.
Mm-hmm.
Or it's not cool killing bears, though, but, you know, he's just really
all right, okay.
Muscle. Yeah.
And now he's in a shallow grave.
Yeah, and he begins, like, he wakes up and he crawls back home for 6 weeks. And that's the
but
name
of insides that. Hanging out and insects crawling inside his thighs and stuff.
So this is a cheery little number.
Yeah.
Okay, kids. What's the name of the song?
6 weeks.
6 weeks from the band of Monsters and Men live on Soundcheck.
Slow me down. Her blood on my bones. Let go. Lay to rest. We fall to the ground. The weight alone. So get up.
alone. I fight these animals alone until I get home.
A neat song, and what a gruesome little story that inspired it. The song is called 6 Weeks. The band is Of Monsters and Men. And Nana, you were telling us the story of Hugh Glass before playing the song. And I mean, there's a lot of folk music around the world where the subject matter is very grim, very dark, and yet the songs are full of kind of joy and life. So you're right in that tradition there. While you were playing that song, our crew in the control room looked up Hugh Glass on Wikipedia, and apparently he lived in this country in the late 1700s, early 1800s. Apparently he lived 10 more years after his famous fight with the grizzly bear.
Pretty hardcore.
Hardcore, for sure. To prevent gangrene, this is from Wikipedia, Glass laid his wounded back on a rotting log and let the maggots eat the dead flesh.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
They don't come more hardcore than that. He was also a sailor, a reluctant pirate with Jean Lafitte, and an honorary Pawnee Indian. Hugh Glass, the subject of that song, 6 Weeks, by Of Monsters and Men. Their album's called My Head is an Animal. And guys, it has been a lot of fun having you here in the studio. Thank you so much for coming in and playing for us.
Thank you for having us.
Of Monsters and Men, with us on Soundcheck.
Well, maybe I am a crook for stealing your heart away. Yeah, maybe I am a crook for not caring for it. Yeah, maybe I'm a bad, 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 bad person. Well, baby, I know. And these fingertips will never run through your skin, and those bright blue eyes can't
made my across a room filled with people that are less important than you.
That's going to do it for Soundcheck today. Don't forget, it's not too late to fill out our 2012 music survey. We want to hear about the music that meant the most to you this year, and maybe a little bit about the music that meant the least to you, too. You can find it online at soundcheck.org. Coming up tomorrow on Soundcheck at 9 p.m., guitarist Nathan Salzberg puts on his archivist hat and talks with us about discovering abandoned music and making it new again. Plus, British busker-turned-troubadour Mike Rosenberg records under the name Passenger. He'll play live. That's tomorrow on Soundcheck. A final note, today is our intern Ashanta Jackson's last day working here at Soundcheck. Ashanta, thanks for all the hard work and best of luck. I'm John Schaefer. This is Soundcheck.